I just feel totally privileged to be here, because I know before I came, I knew this was a place that I trust, and I knew God would work, would talk and speak. And I just really thank you, Jean and Rodney, because through your obedience over all these years in God, I mean, I know we touched on this morning, people said, you know, there's a knock-on effect through that. And I really, really appreciate the fact that for you two, your obedience to when I came to conference about 5 years ago just changed my whole life, turned my whole life upside down in a good way. God set me free from a spirit of fear at that time, and I haven't looked back, you know. So this ministry is just, I mean, I just, you have no idea, I don't think, how the effect of what you do, well, I'm sure you've seen lots of effect, but you know the ongoing effects. And since then, I've been privileged to be able to go out with God and with other teams from our church and be able to be used by God in the prophetic and in ministry. And that's so exciting, as you know. It's so exciting when God uses me. You know, and I think some days I've gone along with our pastor's wife and she's spoken and we've ministered in places, and I've just gone and thought, well, I've got nothing, God, but I'm going because I'm just going to back her up sort of thing. I'm just there as a tag along. And God just does, you know, when you just are available to God, it's incredible what he does. And I'm sure most of you know what I'm talking about. It's amazing. And then this year, last year, I had a slap on the wrist really this weekend, because last year our minister and his wife, who I was doing a lot of work with, just left the church, and I'm not going into details, but just left, and it was like the rug was pulled out from under my feet. I really felt like the last few months in particular, I've just been in confusion, totally in confusion. And as a result of that, I mean, we've talked a lot this weekend about churches and hurts and things that happen, and we really have to cope with that, because I had the rug pulled totally out from under my feet. I was confused, and that effect, I know it's not just me, but it confused me so much that I've had God at arm's length, and that's not good enough, and I knew that wasn't good enough. And there was a time where I could just think, I just need to sit for a bit and just regroup myself, but I knew that God, that I couldn't just stay there, because that's just not right. I can't just be a nominal Christian and just sit in a pew. I mean, that's just not what I'm like, you know? And that's not what God wants. And so I saw the weekend coming up, and I thought, no, this is right to come this weekend. And I came here knowing that God would give me answers. What I didn't know was that the whole weekend's preaching would be directly to me. I just thought, you know, a little word here and there. But everything that's been said this weekend is just totally spot on. And, you know, every word that you've all shared, and the small group too, was just spot on. And that's just incredible. And now I'm renewed and I'm back on track with God, and I've got some work to do, and it's hard work, isn't it? It's hard, but it's exciting. And so that's a result directly of you and Rodney, and your obedience in the first place is just one life that you've just, you know, through God and your obedience. And I just want to be the same for other people, because it's incredible when God moves. So thank you.
Someone else quickly got a testimony from the small groups and that today, or the camp? Just come out quickly and line up and...
I'd like to just share. The small group this afternoon for me has been awesome. I felt to start with, oh Lord, I'm sitting here kind of on empty with nothing for anybody, and I just felt absolutely blessed with what the Lord gave me to share. But what I really want to speak about is the music last night. I was a little bit slow to respond, and lots of people jumped up, but I was still kind of processing it. And it was particularly the second lot of music, but I need to speak about what happened for me in the first lot because of something, a part in the second. In the first music, I felt that, well, I could see the pictures. of being a ballerina dancing on a lake, but it wasn't necessarily a lake, it was water. But I wasn't in a ballerina's dress, I was in a nice long flowing dress, and Jesus was dancing with me at times, and then at times he would let me go and I would continue dancing on my own, and there was the ribbon things twirling and that. Even when I was dancing alone, I was aware that Jesus was there guiding me. In the second music, the Lord immediately took me up Mount Everest and to where they've got the ice caves where they shelter and so forth. And it was a swirly kind of mist all around. But I immediately said, oh, Lord, I don't want to go to a cold place. So he immediately then took me to a place that I have, or places that we have visited in Africa. He took me to a beautiful lake in the at the base of the Franschhoek Mountains. I don't know if you know Cape Town, you've got Table Mountain, Lion's Head, and the mountains that go down to the Cape of Good Hope. And then you've got the Stellenbosch and Franschhoek Mountains, and they're incredibly beautiful. He took me to this lake, the scene of this lake, with two beautiful large swans swimming on it. But in behind are these stark rock mountains, but with the autumn leaves down around the bottom. And I did write it down various scenes of these mountains flashed before me because, you know, you go up mountains sort of by various levels. And above having these stark mountains, there'd be places where you come to, and it's quite verdant with vineyards. So you'll see vineyards here and here, but in behind are stark rock mountains. And I was climbing up these mountains, and I was aware that Jesus was climbing up the other side, and his side was much harder than my side. And then he reached the top, and he reached it down with his hand to me, and I immediately then kind of got scared and perhaps pulled away. And I don't know if you've seen the picture of the lady's face where you can see the old lady and you can see the young lady. I immediately saw that kind of on its side, even though I knew it was Jesus' hand. The other thing that I sensed was the troll from the three billy goats. And as a child, I was really scared of that troll, so I kept reading the story till I wasn't scared of it. But those two things just flashed there. Though I had seen Jesus walking up one side of the mountain, reaching down to me, I was momentarily scared. And it wasn't until I reached out to take Jesus' hand, the Lord then immediately took me back to Mount Everest, to the ice caves and the swirling, where I couldn't see where I was going. And I know that many people have died at the top of Mount Everest, but until I trusted the Lord to take hold of his hand. The strange thing then, as the music progressed, was that once I was willing to reach out and take the hand that Jesus was offering to me, I could immediately go from the Stellenbosch and Franschhoek Mountains and I could step over to Table Mountain. Well, that's like stepping from Raglan to the Kai Mai Hills. And in the natural, that's not possible. And I could freely move backwards and forwards between these mountains because I took Jesus' hand and allowed him to take me where he wanted to take me first. I could also go freely up and down Table Mountain. And I don't know if many of you know that there's quite a crevasse in the middle of Table Mountain. You cannot walk along the top. And there's a lot of finboss and tracks down through the finboss. And it's actually become quite dangerous to walk some of those tracks. Quite a few attacks are happening now. But I could freely go up and down those tracks through the finboss, freely along the top, freely from there to way out there, because I took the hand of Jesus.
This is the first time I've ever been to one of these. What do you call them? Good for me conferences. And when I went to the small group, I've been very unhappy in the church that I'm in. There's been a big change of leadership and everything, and I kind of felt used, abused and thrown away and always overlooked. So when I went into the small group, I said, God, please speak to me. I really need to hear from you. And in my church, I also felt like I didn't belong. And when you get that feeling that you don't belong, you feel utterly lost. And in the small groups, I felt like I belonged. I felt like I could just be me. That I didn't have to prove anything. That I didn't have to be anybody else. That I could be free. Free to worship God and free to prophesy. I didn't have anyone say, no, you got to stop. No, that's the wrong thing. And I haven't felt like that in a long time. I belong. And it's a great feeling that I belong. And I've never met any of yous in my whole entire life. But I feel like I've known yous for years. Oh, I've been rather busy. Studies, family. No. I feel like I've known you all my life. And I think it was you that said you have to experience the love. I experienced it. I really experienced it in the small groups. And I felt so loved that I don't know how to explain it. I could have ran out there and goes, I'm loved, you know. Running around up and down the street, people would have thought I was nutty, but that's okay. This is a place for schizos, eh? Okay. Schizophrenia, as you said the other night. This is the place, eh? Oh, never mind. I think you better heal him.
Whose group were you in?
I was in Mum and Dad's group. Oh, there they are, Jackie and Doug, Mum and Dad.
That's a miracle you felt loved.
But she reminded me of my mum and he reminded me of my dad. Even though I'm brown, they still reminded me of my mum and dad.
She's got a bit in her too.
Has she?
Yeah.
Is she an islander? Oh, well, then she hasn't got me. No, but I praise God. I praise God for the freedom that I have. I'm a bit scared of what's going to happen tomorrow. But praise God, if I keep my eyes focused on Him and don't look at this and don't look at that, I'm going to be fine. Praise God, eh? Praise God.
A year ago I stood here and said that I had been pronounced on the way to the cemetery. I'd put my hand up at the specialist and said, forget it, I'm not receiving that. Watch this space, my dad's going to give me a miracle. My parents lived until the early 90s, like Moses, a good sound mind and full of good health. And here I am. Do I look as if I'm going to... So it's an ongoing thing, but it's absolutely wonderful. Now, today, I've had lots and lots of ups and downs through the year, and if you're going forward in ministry, you're going to get belted. But we just have to learn not to duck, but be like David and just stand while it's all going on and strengthen yourself in the Lord, because he'll sort everybody and everything out quicker than what we can, bashing our head on a brick wall. Now, today when I came into the group with this wonderful sister of yours, where are you? Here she is, Joan. And so I was in Joan's group, and when I went in, I've had 3 weeks in Queen Elizabeth last year, you know, in the gym every day, all the saunas and the massages to get my muscle tone all going and everything. And I found out when I got the day after I got home that I could get a green card, exercise on prescription, so I'm still going 3 times a week. And I thought, this is crazy, Lord, I'm 77 this year. What's all this for? But I know in my innermost being that he's preparing me, like most of us, for whatever's coming next. And he wants us to be well, he wants us to be healthy and with a good, sound mind. So when I went into the group, I just sat and I knew that I was going to have a word, so I just sat and looked at the floor to concentrate on the Lord. And I just felt like I'd been put in a little bubble and there was nothing else there. So when the gentleman was saying who was going to go first, I kept looking at the floor and I thought, I'll go last. So he walked over with the little gadget and I was first. And Joan had the most amazing word, which confirmed everything that God's been doing in my life and what's going to happen. One of the gentlemen was saying how God has been preparing me for going up higher to another place, another plane. And I just thank God that we can come here. Like most churches, ours has been extremely, extraordinarily fragmented. The pastor was off for 4 months. He came back, and three of the couples, the head leadership of the church, left because they'd all been transferred out of town on their jobs. And thought, Yahoo, God, there's nobody left but you and the pastor, who are lovely, lovely people. They love God with their whole heart. But now it'll be them and God. You know, they're really wonderful. And we need to pray for our pastors. You know, churches aren't perfect and neither are we. And they just need us to undergird them and just love them. And whatever happens, well, God will fix that up. It's not our business. Only just to undergird and to love and give them their support. So thank you, Jean and Rodney. I've known these people for about 25 years, I think, and we're still speaking. For all the prayers and all the love, you know, that's going on. And we wish you all the best. And Jean, it'll be, you won't be ducking in and out of meetings when you get down to the Kapiti Coast, because it won't then be your territory. You'll just have to sit there, and they're going to so flood you with everything. You're going to be so in demand. You won't have time to go in the kitchen. There'll be no such things as pennies and tea towels. So thank you, and God bless you richly and wish you best, like everybody here and around the world would be wishing you all the best. And for, when you go up on the next plane, a plane in the Lord, not an aeroplane.
We have one more. One more. May you. Can she?
Well, this afternoon in our group, it was great because nobody really knew anything about me, and that's what I like. But the Lord compared me to a fox terrier with a bone in my mouth. And I'm not sure about that. But anyway, what it meant was that when God speaks to me, I put it in my mouth and I don't give in until I've got it. And at this present time, God's given me a huge challenge ahead. And this afternoon, it was just amazing, the people in there. And some of you had never bought words before, and some of you have never been here before. But you gave me words that were just so spot on, that just, once again, I need heaps and heaps of confirmation on this, once again, God just brought it out of through his people, and I really knew I needed to come down here. I wanted to come down here, and I tried a couple of months ago, and it just isn't working out for me to get down here. And then Richard appeared one day, and a couple of weeks ago, really, and said, oh, I'll take you down. And I thought, right, I'm going. And I've just been so, so blessed. And those people who brought those words, you know, you were just so spot on. It was just amazing. Let me encourage you that for what God's given me ahead, and it's massive, and it just involves like finding, getting the Lord to pay $4 million. And so, you know, he owns a lot of mountains, he's got a lot of cows, and but it's like I just feel sense, and it's all about claiming the land back for God, because we're losing it in this nation. You know, we're not going to have any land left for the Christians of this nation, because they've been brought up, particularly around us, and I imagine it's right through this nation. The enemy is taking our land. And I just really feel that that's what God's wanting us to do, is to claim back and take his land for him. Because we're going to run out of land for the Christians to live on. And at this stage, the ministry I'm in, 14 years ago, the Lord, I signed a piece of paper for $320,000 with absolutely no money. We had to have someone take us in the car to have a look at it. But, you know, $320,000 is a lot of money then today. It's compared to $1 million today, isn't it? I mean, it's the same thing. And, you know, God, we signed that and just believing by faith that God was going to fulfill it. And he did. 10 years later, we were debt-free from that land. And today we've been going 16 years in the ministry we're in. And it's like God wants us to claim the rest of the land around us. And he's given me a couple of pegs from the land that we've got, which is 11 and a quarter of acres, to shift back to the next property of 10 acres. Now, he told me that, and then the next couple of weeks later, he says, gives me Jeremiah 1:13, and he says, I want the east of the west and the north and the south. Well, it's very interesting, because the land we're on was divided into four sections, one big land, and was subdivided into four. Well, we're on one of those pieces, and God's wanting to take back the rest of that land. And very interesting, it's going to be about 40 acres, which is very biblical, isn't it? And it's like, you know, $1 million today is like $320,000 so many years ago. And they just confirmed that, hey, what God said to me, this is what's going to happen. And so we're 100% convinced that this is what's God wanting. And he's wanting us to have that land, and on that land he's wanting us to develop ministries that will go for the poor and the needy in our community, because that's our ministry. And we do that now, and we've done that for 16 years. And I just, let me encourage you. Anyway, I'm doing a new sermon, aren't I? Let me encourage you. You know, if God's telling you to buy land, buy it. Because I really believe in my heart he's wanting us to have more land in this nation for the Christians, because it's been robbed from us. It's taken, you know, it's been, people are coming into our country who are not Christians. And they're taking our land. And so, hey, could do with your prayers. so thank you. But I really want to encourage those ones in the group today. You just were so spot on, and it just gave me 100% confirmation.
Thank you. No men testified. Did you notice she discerned that? Are there any men here? No, thanks. We need to move on. I was going to say we'll take up the offering now, but I see it's already done. Isn't that wonderful? And if the work was always like that, it would be great. But thank you very much. And let's just pray for that. And Lord, we just thank you right now for this finance that's been released to the ministry. We pray, God, that you will see it to be used and multiplied to bless more people than ever before. We thank you for what you're doing through this ministry, God, and you know our hearts is to touch the nations, to touch the thousands, the hundreds of thousands, even the millions of people with the reality of Jesus Christ, our living Lord. And so, Lord, we just look to you for your provision, for your release, for your growth in what you've called us to do. And we give you all the praise and the honour and the glory in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. Why don't we give Jesus a clap? Yes. Over to you, Kerry. To find a new sponsor? Anyway. How do you keep up with Graham, Kerry? Oh, that's great, isn't it? Well, if you've been here for the first time, you're starting to understand we do everything back to front, but we get there in the end. But, part of the reason for these things is helping to show people that there are other ways of doing things. And if we're prepared to be flexible and pliable, then we discover that God is very much a God of variety, isn't he? And so that's great, and, our time's getting on, but we just want to give each of the speakers an opportunity to just to briefly perhaps summarise their feel, what they think God has been saying to us during these 2 days. So, Richard, you're on. Just come and use this one. That'll be
good. Well, I think in summary, I think that God wants us to love more. Is that all? That was all you wanted, wasn't it? We can all go home now. I the thing that has been coming back to me time and time again for a little while now is it's what I talked about before. It is the difference between us and the occult. It is that love. And then, you ask the question, well, okay, Richard, that's all very good. I know that I need to have more love, and that's great. And look, I have decided, I will have more love. Isn't that what you decided? Yes, of course. And you know what happens tomorrow? You're going to get tested on that decision. Isn't that right? It'll happen as you walk into church, or somebody's sitting in your seat at church. We talked about that before. If it doesn't happen tomorrow because church and everybody's been nice, it's bound to happen on Monday. So, and then suddenly you're going to find that all the willpower in the world is not going to do it. I guarantee it. I can promise you that's what's going to happen. You're going to go away from here tonight thinking, yes, I'm on fire, I can do it, this is going to be great, and Monday it's all going to come back down to earth, and you will find, like somebody said, called it will worship. You're going to find that will worship, willpower, is not going to be enough. What's going to do it? What's going to do it? Well, I'm going to tell you, it is going to be your relationship with God. Because the sort of love that we're talking about doesn't come from willpower. It comes from God. It is supernatural. It is the love that can come when things are at their worst. It is the decisions to do the right thing that can only come from God, where you will do things that you've never done before because you've got a love that comes from God. And that doesn't just come by deciding you're going to do it. That comes by saying, God, I need to get closer to you. I need to spend time in your word. I need to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, because I know that in the past, my mind has let me down. I've said yes, and I've done no. I've said, I'm not going to do this, and then I've gone and done it again. And, Oh, you'd have to check with my wife. You put me off my stride. Yeah. Now, he's worried about interrupters. I've got him all the time. What was I saying? Anyway. Yeah, that's right. Anyway, you know what I mean, eh? The thing that I've found is that, we make decisions and say these things, but really when it comes down to it, it is where our mind is transformed. It's that verse in Romans, isn't it? How does it go now? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Yeah, what was the first part, though? That's it. Living sacrifices. That's right. That is the key. It is the key to everything, is that our minds have to be changed. Our minds have been programmed in different ways by different influences, by television, by our culture, by those philosophies that Kerry was talking about, those ones with the big names that we can't even pronounce. What were they again, Kerry? Oh, we'll leave that. Whether we know it or not, our minds have been programmed by those influences that Kerry was talking about. We have to change those influences. They have to be overcome. Our minds have to be transformed. And the way we're going to do that is being in the Word of God and allowing the Word of God to get into us and allowing God to change the way we think. Then we're going to be able to do those things that we thought were impossible. We're going to be able to love those people that, you know, up until now we haven't been able to love. We're going to be able to forgive those people that up until this day we haven't been able to forgive. And we're going to be able to show the love of God. But we're going to have to let the love of God, the Word of God, get into us and transform our minds. All right.
Peter. I have no idea what I'm going to say. I don't know. I've had a fantastic time the last 2 days and met some really good people. I think Jean's just amazing. Isn't she? Jean looked after me. Jean and Rodney opened up their home, and it was just nice. And Rodney kept me awake at night snoring, so I don't know how Jean gets on. But, two things. You've got a piece of paper and a pen? Just really short things. Because I think this is the whole key to everything that we've talked about in the last 2 days. The first one was what I think I said at some stage, that the grace of God is a revelation of your sin and God's response to it. Yeah, by the tape. Grace of God equals this. Apart from undeserved favour, which we all know about, the grace of God is a revelation of your sin and God's response to it. Which simply means this. Oh, come on, Ben. You got that? The grace of God is a revelation of your sin and God's response to it. I like that. Because when you get a handle on that, you can never point the finger at anybody. Never. In a million years. Because God just reminds you of your sin and what he did in response to it. The other thing is this. Write this one down. When you don't understand, when you don't understand, you got that? Where righteousness comes from, I don't know, just put righteousness. So when you don't understand where righteousness comes from, you become the source of it. That's good, isn't it? Boy, I tell you, if you don't understand that, ponder about it. Because if you don't understand where your righteousness comes from, you set up rules and regulations and things like that that people can't live up to. Source. Yeah, I have. Rodney will explain it to you. Righteousness and source. I think the last couple of days has been just really fantastic, you know, and for me, I just really love this sort of stuff. And I don't know what to say, really, except that I just want to thank Rodney for giving me an opportunity to come up here and talk. So was I. I was desperate to get back up to the North Island. And we look forward to seeing you all down south. And Greymouth is on the west coast of the South Island, where they have all the fish. And who was talking about deer the other day? All the deer run around the bush. Lots of venison. Instead of paying $40 a kilo for it, you just go and shoot one in the bush. And trout in the rivers and in the streams is paradise. And whitebait, yeah, well, the whitebait hasn't been too good, really. But the greedy West Coasters priced themselves off the market this year because they wanted $90 a kilo or something for it, which really is a bit outrageous, really, because if you're just 1 feed of whitebait's enough, so we just scab it off somebody and they give it to us instead of buying it. And they just give us a pound or a couple of pounds or something like that for nothing. And we give them absolution of sins. So I will say this. We don't have the perfect church by any means. I really mean that. And Rodney will tell you that, because we just have a little church, but we have a lot of fun. And we had to change things, the way that we do things, because about 18 months ago, the Lord spoke to me, and one of those times in your life where the Lord speaks, and when he speaks, everything falls apart. And it's happened two or three times in my Christian walk, and one of them was when I thought we were just a fantastic Pentecostal church and allowed the Holy Spirit to move in our church, and then the Lord tells me that he said this, Peter, I've been silenced out of the church. That's a shocking revelation to a Pentecostal pastor. And so the Lord gave me a picture of Maxwell Smart. You know Maxwell Smart? Get smart. You know the cone of silence? That's what it was like. So we decided to change things and allow the Lord to come and give him back his church. Because you can program him out quite easily. And we used to have three fast songs, three slow songs, have an announcement and a cup of tea and have a sermon or whatever and go home. And I rapidly became very aware that there's no point in that. And so I went for help to another pastor in town. And I said to him, Ian, I need help. He said, well, I know that, but what's the problem? I said, we have every Sunday for the last 13 years, and he's in the same boat, had three fast songs, three slow songs, have the announcements, have the a sermon and have a cup of tea and then go home. I said, can you please tell me the point of it? And he said, well, there is. I said, well, what is it? And he said, well, there is a point to it. I said, well, what is it? What's the point of it? And he said, well, Peter, there is. And I thought, you don't. No, it's not. There's no point in it. And so we changed the way that we do things, tried to change it. But there's always pressure, like you talked to Rodney about moving in the gifts. There's always pressure in every church service to go back to the comfort and to the known and all that sort of stuff. And you know, as a congregation, you know, I guess most of you are in a congregation, the next move of God has got to come from the congregation. It can't come from the pastors and the church anymore, because they've run out of gas. They don't know how to do it anymore. They've run out of programs. They've programmed themselves to death, and it still hasn't worked. And God's got to come and do something with the church. So the pastors have got to release the people to do the work of the ministry. And that's what it's all about. You can't do it like that anymore. And so we tried to do things a little bit differently. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. If it doesn't work, I just say, well, there's another Sunday next week, so I can work on that. I mean, you've got to have a philosophy like that, otherwise you just shrivel up and die. And one testimony about what happened one morning. We had a couple turned up from Whangarei, and there was mum and dad and four kids, and they just walked into church. And we just introduced ourselves and were nice to them, which is unusual in churches today, where you go into church and somebody talks to you. It's true. You would be amazed at how many people said, I went to this church, not one person talked to me. I thought, ugh. So we make sure that when people come to visit us, we know everything about them and talk to them and give them a cup of tea and love them and all that sort of stuff. And so this couple turned up, and we had one fast song that day. And I think we were singing some sort of song. And in the middle of the song, I just thought to myself, I wonder what Jesus would say to these people if he walked into the room. Well, what would he say? So I stood up after our one song and I said, I wonder what Jesus would say to this couple from Whangarei that have come all the way down here if he walked into the room. Which is a good question to ask. And all these people all over the congregation stood up and said, I think the Lord would say this to them and I think the Lord would say that to them. And the whole service went on and we ministered to this family. And they were crying and carrying. It was just incredible. And at the end of it, the husband came up and said to me, look, he said, we are in dire straits up in Whangarei with our church and our family and our jobs. And we decided that we're on our last legs. We'll go for a holiday for 3 weeks and just pray that God will speak to us. And they ended up in Greymouth in our wee church. And God spoke to them. And they went home, happy. which is really good. So unfortunately, in some ways, that sort of stuff has got to come from the front, because unless the pastors and leaders get a revelation of that, that God has actually been silenced out of the church, and cope with it somehow, and feel secure enough in their ministry that they just won't release the people to do it. And that's not a criticism, because I've been there, done that. And I totally understand why. I do. Because sometimes you try and release the congregation and they behave like lunatics. That's true. Look, man, I could tell you story after story how we've tried to release people into praying for people and suddenly they get demon-possessed or something. I don't know what it is. And they say all these crazy things. We had one lady in our church who and she actually left our church. We prayed her out of the church. But no. I just said, Lord, if you don't change her, you've got to move her on. She came next week and said, Peter, the Lord's spoken to me and I'm moving to another church. I said, good. So she went to another church and then she did something a bit silly. And the pastor said, when I'm away, I do not want you to prophesy to anybody. Nobody. And she said, if the Holy Spirit tells me, I will. He said, you will not. You won't. I don't want you to do it. So anyway, as soon as he walks out the door, she walks up to this vulnerable young woman who's just got saved and said, the Lord has given me a word for you. And she said, oh, what's that? And she said, Satan's trying to kill you. And which is not the most uplifting thing for a young woman to hear. So that sort of stuff. That's why there is a huge, huge responsibility for congregations to be wise, you know, be wise in all of this stuff. And the pastors will slowly but surely, hopefully, release you into the ministry of doing the works of the ministry. So it's a two-way thing. And that's all I'm going to say, Rodney. I really enjoy being here, so I better go and sit down, otherwise I'll waffle on.
I can't say much because Peter's taking all my time. I'm not going to say much anyway. Probably said enough this weekend, but just one little experience I had, and I really believe the Lord tries to show you, if you're going to lead in anything, you have to make sure you're an example and that you know how to do these things, and otherwise it's all waffle, and you're just talking through a hole in your head. And so, you know, I realized that if I'm going to even talk about love, that I had to get out on the street and I had to talk to people about Jesus. And that big E word is an absolutely terribly scary thing, especially if you're out on the street. But I knew that I needed to do that because that's love. And when I started talking to these people, I remember looking at one young girl and I was thinking, and it was God just saying to me, you see this girl? I don't want her to go to hell. And the only way she can, you are the only person at this stage is going to stop her. And I realized that was love. And that's what the gospel is. And that's, unfortunately, what we have to do. That's the ultimate demonstration of love, is that we are very concerned about people out on the street and we need to tell them about Jesus.
Thank you. I just want to personally thank Richard and, what's your name? Pastor Ridling from Greymouth. If you're ever in Greymouth, it's a church you can't miss. And Kerry and Graham as well, thank you very much. It's just been great to have these people here, hasn't it? And why don't we give them a clap, okay? I beg your pardon? Oh, and Noel down the back on the video. You're still awake, Noel. Don't forget, if you want to order any of the sessions or all of the sessions, see Noel at the back. Anne and Ewan, we want to thank you very much for all you've done behind the scenes with the sound and so on. And why don't you come and say? And Leanne and Linda and Bruce, isn't it? Yes. Thanks for what you've been all doing out there in the kitchen and everybody that's been helping and so on. And it's very much appreciated. the big thing of this time together, of course, is how, as Richard and Nat have said, you know, how does it influence our life? How does it impact us? You see, revelation, once we receive it, then we have the responsibility to translate it out of that spiritual realm of revelation into a practical outworking reality. And revelation enables us to do that. And so, you know, we need a revelation of the love of God and what it can do in our hearts and lives, and that in this love-starved generation, people need our love far more than they need our message, in the sense that it's no use us preaching to them if we don't have love for them. You know what I'm saying? And I believe that as this love of Christ constrains us, we're going to find ourselves, like Kerry's saying, going out on the streets. The marketplace is where the gospel has to go to. It's got to get outside the four walls of church. And in recent years, I've likened church is like an equipping station. The saints should be equipped there for the work of the ministry, to release, to go out into the highways and the byways, to fulfill the vision of God that he's put within our heart. Now, some of us will be out there in the highways and byways. Others will be ministering within the house. Others will be like my calling right now is a mentoring role of feeding thousands of leaders around the world, and who in turn are feeding other people and so on. But you've just got to know where you fit, okay? So much damage can be done if we're trying to function as a round hole, a square peg in a round hole, and so on. And so we're challenged about this need to love one another. And before I ask Jean to come and share, I just want to read some verses from 1 John chapter 3, verses 14 to 16. These words have really challenged me because for so long, you see, we Christians, we make this mistake of trying to put all the blame onto God if things are not happening in our lives. You know, it's not God's time, it's not God's will, and poor old God gets blamed for lots. And really, it's because, in words of certain speakers here, this camp, we're thick as bricks, and we're not getting the message like we should be, or we're not learned how to capture that which is born of the Spirit and translate it into a seen, practical, outworking reality. First Epistle of John, chapter 3, reading from verse 14. It says there, we know we have passed from death to life because we love the brothers and sisters. Now, the way we think it's because we love Jesus. We know we have passed from death to life when we are loving one another. He who does not love his brother is living in death. You see, there is a deception, a self-deception that operates if we are trying to fulfill the Christian calling in our life without loving our brothers and sisters. Verse 15, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding or living in him. By this we know love, because he, that's Jesus, laid down his life for us. And we also ought to lay down our lives for who? The brothers and sisters, not for Jesus. You see, every one of us here, honestly, if we were faced with the challenge right now, are you willing to lay down your life for Jesus Christ? We could do it. But if we were challenged, would you lay down your life for that person sitting next to you? Could you do it? You see, and that's the power of love, when we value one another sufficiently that we are prepared to lay down our lives for one another. That's the power, the strength, the authority of kingdom living. If we go back to Luke's Gospel, chapter John 13, and I'll just finish with the scriptures because this is just so powerful. I quoted it yesterday. Verse 34 and 35 of John chapter 13, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another." He gives a commandment that we are to love one another as he has loved us. So he actually sets the standard that our love for one another should be equal to the love that Jesus has for us. Now, there's no way we can do that in our own strength. There's no way that willpower will get us there. We need a revelation of the love of Jesus in our hearts. Then Jesus went on in verse 35 to say, "It is by this love that all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." That's a challenge, isn't it? To think that the new commandment of Jesus to us is that we love one another as Jesus has loved us. Jesus laid down his life for us. This is love, that a man will lay down his life for his friends. And Jesus said we are his friends if we do whatever he asks us. So, you know, we have this awesome challenge that God is trying to share that love relationship that he had with Jesus. He wants us to share with Jesus, to somehow come to an understanding that if Jesus says this is his commandment for us, then it is possible for us to love one another as Jesus has loved us and still loves us. That's mind-boggling, isn't it? But this is the commandment of Jesus. By this we know we have passed from death to life because we love one another. This kingdom gospel is not about just loving Jesus. It is demonstrated that we love Jesus by loving one another. That is a totally different ball game. Is that right? That's the challenge. That's the challenge. I mean, let's be serious about this. Is there anyone in this room that you would be willing to lay down your physical life for? Yeah, I know, we all need to pray about that. But that's the challenge of this simple little four-letter word called love. God so loved the world, he gave. What did he give? He gave himself. In Ephesians 5, Jesus so loved the church that he gave. What did he give? Himself. We should so love our brothers and sisters that we're willing to give ourselves in order, if necessary, that you may live, I'm prepared to die. That is a powerful gospel, folks. And it tells me, God, without you, without your love, we are nothing. Absolutely nothing. What a challenge. But that's what this book is teaching. We've got to value one another a whole lot more, folks. Value one another in the name of the Lord. Thank you, Sister Jean. Come and say something. Come on. Who would like to hear Jean? Yeah, you don't have to sing.
It'll be very brief. I would just like to say thank you for coming and thank you for going. It's been lovely being with you all, and have a safe journey home in Jesus' name till we meet again.
I declare the conference closed. Love one another before you leave. God give you all safe travelling mercies.